2 Timothy 3, 1-9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men.
Well, we are back and we have made it to episode 5. This week in your homework, you were kind of working through the beginning of chapter 3. And I am just so loving just hearing Paul's heart and his warning and his encouragement to these believers that are living in such turmoil times. And we are going to look at a big list today. There's a lot of things that are about to happen. And right out of the gate, we see some language, I think, that we want to make sure is accurate. Mm-hmm. Last days.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Verse 1, Paul's like, understand in the last days you're going to have difficulty. So the great question is, what is last days?
Right.
Is that Paul's day? Is Paul thinking of a future day? Mm-hmm. And it is important, I think, to understand that Paul really felt he was in the end, mm-hmm. the last days, right? Like he and all the apostles mm-hmm. felt Jesus' second return was very imminent. Mm-hmm. It's throughout the New Testament. And so in Paul's mind, he is casting a now last days. Mm-hmm. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus hasn't returned.
His return is still imminent.
His return is still imminent.
Says he's coming soon.
We are still in between his first and second comings, and we are still in the last days. Mm-hmm. So is the last days now and later? Both, yes.
Yes.
It's both of those things. It was then mm-hmm. and it's now.
Yeah.
And as we get into this big old list, it's sadly, it's like, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, I was going to say, the list feels unfortunately mm-hmm. really familiar.
I think something's talking to us.
It does feel like a familiar list. And it's interesting that the opening statement in this chapter is, there will come times of difficulty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, don't be surprised that life is difficult. And then it's difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, we can see that as discouraging, but I think it's mm-hmm. actually encouraging. It's like, if you're facing difficulty in your life, in your workplace, in your families, and it's like, there is a reason. And you're not wrong. Paul said, understand it. There will come times of difficulty.
Yeah.
The question mm-hmm. is, why? Why is it going to be difficult?
Kelly, is it mm-hmm. difficult because there's lots of storms or hurricanes or natural disasters?
That would be so nice if that were the only reason it was difficult.
Hmm.
But it says, for people will be
people that made it difficult.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
He says times will be difficult because of the people. Yeah. Because of the yes. people. We feel it. It's a hard tension. It's an interesting tension in this whole book, I feel like. I'm just taking a step back for a second. This is not planned. But throughout the chapters we've been studying, Paul is very obviously concerned with Timothy's associations with people, avoiding mm-hmm. certain people, but yet caring that they come to the truth. So there's all this care about people. That's really mm-hmm. where the threat and danger is. It's really where the issues lie are with people through chapters 1, 2, and now in 3. He's giving us a list of reasons why it'll be difficult because of how people will be. So, yeah, it's interesting.
The problem lies squarely with us.
That's right.
The people. Yeah.
We are the cause. We are the reason.
If you're feeling like you have tension with people, like Kelly mentioned, in your workplace and in your home, congratulations. Welcome to the human experience.
Right.
Humans everywhere are dealing with difficulties
right.
of people. This is a huge list. I put numbers by all these characteristics. I got 19, ooh. Arguably 20, if depending on how you do the last two.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, that is a long list for a little bitty book.
Yeah.
That's a big list. Should we look at it? And, like, just get a feel for, like, the rolling,
yeah,
the snowballing
it.
Yeah, let's
of
read
these
it.
Words.
Who's going to read it?
Who's going to read it?
I'll read it.
Read it.
For people, this is in verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Avoid them. Where's our word avoid again? Just run away. Avoid them.
Run away.
Avoid such people. Okay, but wow.
The problem is I can see myself in some of this.
I know.
How do I get away from myself?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, I guess obviously not, but some of those are things that I would say I wrestle. You know, you have to like own for yourself, like, ooh, you know.
Right.
Which is so a source of difficulty.
I'm going to go ahead and look in my eye first before I start looking at the plank in theirs.
An excellent habit. Mm-hmm. We start there. What I see in myself in the list.
Well,
as you examine the list, where do you see you?
Yeah, maybe we can talk about some things that do stick out to us from this list. Is there anything that stuck out to you guys as we read through that kind of were like, oh, that phrase.
Yeah. That well, one. As a whole, it does feel like our society, you know, and
sure.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think today is the day to make a list and put other people's names.
No. This isn't the moment to put other people's names.
But it is this is kind of the state of where we are and how we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lover of self, I think, is definitely a self-love. It's all over.
In my self-love era, folks.
Yeah. That one is... That one's just celebrated, though. You know, some of these, I think even a non-believer would be like, oh, you should never be abusive. You know, that's like an easy one to put in the category of like the bad people do that, you know. So it's interesting that some of these we have actually glorified and the world has said loving yourself more is actually the solution for more happiness, more comfort, less worry, whatever the – you know, more productivity. Just love yourself more. So you're going to see that on Old Navy t-shirts for your little girls. You're going to see that in, you know, all over. I mean, I always pick up the Old Navy t-shirts with Quinn and I'm like, I don't even agree with this theologically. And I like put it down, but I'm sure it has a cute rainbow on it, you know? And so.
I love that you are noticing the lovers thing, lovers of these things, because that's kind of what stuck out to me too is, it says that three times, lovers of something, lovers of self, of money, of pleasure. And again, pleasure, lovers of pleasure is something celebrated culturally. And even lovers of money, like it's like, yeah, go get yourself a job that earns you a lot of money.
Yeah.
There is a pursuit of those things. That's the if you could call it that, the positive chasing in the people is toward self, toward money, and toward pleasure, which then gets paired with all these other things we don't think come along with it, like abuse.
Right.
But it's actually a outworking of love of self, of love of money, of love of pleasure is abuse and arrogant, you know, pride and lack of gratitude and slanderous, no self-control, disobedient to parents.
Hey, kids. Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's a serious wrong in this list as well. So it's interesting to think about how those things that are being loved. Embraced, celebrated, are actually giving birth to maybe the rest of the things in this list.
Yeah.
In a way that we don't always see them connected. But Paul is very obviously going, this all goes together.
Right. He's not ranking it.
No, he sees
it. We love to rank stuff in sin levels.
Right. Yes.
You know.
This is less than this.
This one's worse.
This one's well, even not, you know, the idea of love of self, even love of money or love of pleasure feels like this isolated experience of loving that doesn't harm anyone.
Yeah.
Loving me pursuing that doesn't hurt anybody. Mm. And Paul would say differently. And I think a lot of the Bible would say differently, like elevating the pursuit of ourselves, the pursuit of our pleasure, the pursuit of our money and our success will inevitably lead to abuse of other humans, treating them with brutality, which is in here.
Yeah.
You cannot be appeased. It's slanderous. Like pursuing all of those things inevitably leads to human suffering.
Right.
That is what happens.
Right.
To pursue all of those things.
Yeah. I wonder if you guys, I don't know if we want to go here, but where do we see this temptation in our own hearts to be lovers of self and money and pleasure. Like, mm-hmm. one thing that comes to mind is just the Follow Me series that we've been in, this mm-hmm. generosity initiative of trying to loosen our grip off of money. Mm-hmm. And there have been some decisions that we've had to make as a family. I'm like, I really would have loved to do that house project. I would have loved to
go on that vacation.
Go on the vacation in this way. Mm-hmm. But the car's mm-hmm. very old. You know, that these things are happening. And it's, no, we as a church have decided mm-hmm. we're going to make some sacrifices to be able to make more room to do these mm-hmm. things. And I feel that's harder to do than I would like it to be.
Right.
It's like, I don't like that. I like yeah. money. It's nice to have money, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. am I allowed to say that? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. it is nice when you think about a little extra, or because it allows me to love myself mm-hmm. and get what I want for mm-hmm. me, or to love a type of pleasure that I can make my life more convenient, to have mm-hmm. more downtime. That's a type mm-hmm. of loving pleasure, to have more space. That's at least what comes to mind first for me, is mm-hmm. that temptation is there and I'm feeling it be pruned back in this season mm-hmm. of our church's life. But I don't like sometimes how painful it feels. Mm-hmm. It should feel. Right. I want it to feel a little easier. That mm-hmm. proneness is in me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't all of us, it's extremely hard to see when it comes to, I think, loving ourselves, loving our money, loving our pleasure, or like the, it's like having a bad smell. You're like, you don't know you smell bad, but right. like maybe it's a little mm-hmm. bit easier to see somewhere else. And so it's hard to diagnose myself because I'm already yeah. in love with these things and I'm already yeah. like pursuing them, you know? And so like me loving money might sound a whole lot more like I'm just being wise. Like mm-hmm. we're just saving because we need it. I just know that we're going to need $1.5 million for retirement, and I'm just trying to get to that.
Right.
All of that feels really reasonable, mm-hmm. especially in Western American capitalism that is like, mm-hmm. pro, you are here to make money. Mm-hmm. And to throw a whole life paradigm that's like, you are not here mm-hmm. to make the most amount of money you can for you and your family. Mm-hmm. You're just not.
Yeah.
That is just not why you're here. If God is giving you income, arguably it is so that you can provide for other families.
Yeah.
Like that's 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We taught
yeah.
on that. Like
yeah.
he tells them not to steal because they won't have anything to give others.
Yeah.
So for people more prone to the saving, to the huge retirement, mm-hmm. to that level of money at all costs, yeah. right? It costs you to be that way when it comes mm-hmm. to being in the family of God.
Yeah.
If retirement and securing all that is everything you're going for, it costs the body of Christ. It'll cost you spiritually to mm-hmm. do so.
Yeah.
It's just much harder to see because where we live, especially in Texas, where we live and how we are
yeah.
is a certain way.
And all these things are celebrated, like you just said. Mm-hmm. So it makes it hard to see it in yourself because you feel that cultural justification.
Yeah.
No, this is normal. Everybody does this. Mm-hmm. This is how it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christians across important. The globe aren't like, I just hope the Lord lets me get that house that's 1,000 square feet bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. It's not there. It's not part of their regular practice of Christianity.
Right.
It's just not even part of the gospel. So if those are all my prayers, like I need to get real honest about how much of me is motivated by that kind of getting. Mm-hmm. It's hard to see in myself. It's ugly. I know that.
Yeah.
If I can't see it, though, I can't be free. Jen, you were going to say yeah. something.
Oh, no. I was just thinking through just like how would someone sit with the Lord, ask themselves, mm-hmm. has something cut, you know, because it isn't wrong to do a house improvement.
Right.
It isn't wrong to have retirement. I think even being careful how you say self-love, it's like mm-hmm. In the last episode, we talked about like, don't compare yourself. Like you're in. Mm-hmm. So to celebrate like the who that God's made you and mm-hmm. is an expression that can get morphed into like self-love, too. So I think there's just these like these barometers, I think, really identifying. Mm-hmm. I need to be really honest of the river that I think that I live in. Like right. this is the pool I swim in. I swim right. in Western, you know, mm-hmm. messaging all the time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And to zoom out globally, mm-hmm. those are all really healthy ways. But just how do we know if something's turned into love?
Right.
Because that's mm-hmm. the word they're using.
Mm-hmm.
And have those sort of conversations with the Lord and check ourselves mm-hmm. of like, now this has turned sinful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not wrong for me, yet, like I said, right. to do a vacation or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. it's an important question. I think one clue in the passage is he contrasts all that love with they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Mm-hmm. And so the motivation he's saying we ought to have underneath it all is, I love the Lord. I love him. I enjoy him. I want to be with him. I want to serve him. I want my life to be his. I want to trust him. And this is also where you need the rest of the breadth of scripture, because other books like Ecclesiastes will say, if you have money, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like there is a place for actually wise understanding that this is a temporary life, and to go, if I have mm-hmm. $20 for a meal with a friend right now, it's an honorable thing mm-hmm. to go, I'm going to go do that mm-hmm. because I love the good things mm-hmm. God's entrusted to me, and I love sharing them with others. Like, that's an expression of love for God. It's like, what's driving it underneath, though?
Right.
I mean, even the self-love thing, we do have to be careful of, and how that even shows up in our lives. We're talking mm-hmm. about motivations less than like
right.
exactly how they look. Like, mm-hmm. I don't ever, I'll give myself an example because I think it can maybe bring clarity, but I hate disappointing people. I hate it so much. I want to meet every expectation and supersede it because I care about what people think of me in my flesh, right? Mm-hmm. That's the old Kelly mm-hmm. that's being killed daily. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing if I don't give myself space for recovery after a long day on Sunday or work, I'm just mad at my family. And so I've had to go, I need downtime, like mm-hmm. every human being does. I need to fight mm-hmm. for, man, I worked really hard for 8 hours of this day already. I need to fight for an hour of just sit, calm, give Jesus some space, and not meet those needs of maybe someone else, an email that's being written to me. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. You could say, is that self-love because you gave yourself an hour to rest and take a break? I don't think so, because the underlying motivation is, I want to love God, love the people in my life well. I want to have the energy to do that well. I'm realizing I'm limited. And that other thing that I'm doing might look godly, like I'm serving a lot of people, but it's mm-hmm. actually serving me. I care about my reputation. I care mm-hmm. about, I'm loving myself doing that. So it can be really hard to see, because my expressions of love for self would maybe look very different than yours and yours
right.
mm-hmm. On the outside.
Right.
It's really mm-hmm. drawing us to what's driving me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it love for God and his reputation? Is it love for me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I willing to receive the good he has for me as an expression mm-hmm. of I'm a needy dependent on him? Or am I operating out of, no, I take care of me? It's yeah. kind of in the heart motive and might look very different, which is why it's good not to compare mm-hmm. what we're doing with others. But I don't sure. know if mm-hmm. that, if you guys have any other thoughts, but to me that mm-hmm. lovers of God, it's like, okay, that's the new motivation mm-hmm. that's being given to me yeah. that I ought to be driving the ship and the yeah. decisions mm-hmm. ultimately.
I thought of a couple things when I'm thinking to myself, like, how am I getting awareness of where I'm going to see love mm-hmm. for myself that's not, that doesn't bear good fruit, and love for money and love of pleasure? One is like, where do I start getting anxious or frustrated or angry? Because that's like a fruit on the outside. And if I travel it backwards, mm-hmm. it's usually going to hit a nerve somewhere. Yeah. So it's like, okay, let's take the moment of we've all been at church all morning and now I'm hungry and I'm tired. And I'm starting to get really frustrated that we're not leaving quick enough or something's not happening quick mm-hmm. enough. If I follow the frustration on the outside, I'm frustrated from all these circumstances. And then if I go, why is that frustrating? It's because I want this, and this to happen. Why do you need this, and this to happen? Because if this, and this doesn't happen, then I can't be or do fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And in all of that equation, like, most of what's happening is I think I have needs that aren't going to be met. And so I've got to now deal. I've got to now fight for that. Mm-hmm. All that equation is happening underneath the frustration
yeah.
or anger or the anxiety. Like, this is up to me. If XYZ happens, then I've got to do something, right? If retirement is this expensive and that makes me anxious, then I've got to get this money thing. So for me, sometimes following the flare of frustration, the flare of anger and anxiety, mm-hmm. continuing to ask myself, why? What are you afraid of? What are you fearful of? What are you angry about? Follows a trail of something underneath there
yeah.
that almost always requires God to solve.
Yeah.
And I am looking to something, mm-hmm. namely myself, usually, and what I can do to solve that thing.
Yeah.
That's usually what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a huge thing of motive. It's like, it's not like we're just saying, like, all self-love is awful, you know, and it's like this heathen, you know, right. perspective. It's like, self-love isn't helpful because it's just not enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough.
Yeah.
The solution to my greatest problem isn't that Lindsay would love Lindsay. The greatest solution is that an infinite, unchanging, completely faithful God would love Lindsay.
Yeah. Mm.
That is the solution. Mm-hmm. My love compared to his love is so poor, is so poverty stricken,
right.
and so like bent on the wrong things. It's like when my soul needs real restoration, you know what my solution is? Snacks and Netflix. It's like
the pleasure.
That doesn't, it's like that doesn't actually restore my soul.
That's right.
So self-love does run you into like all evil, things, bad things, abusive
therapy.
Things.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's also like on an everyday level, it's just too small.
Yeah.
It's just so small. I can't take care of myself, right? Like, I can't love myself. It's just too small. And if we believe that, like Jesus didn't come so that I could have a better love for myself. Jesus didn't come so that I get more confidence in myself. He didn't come so I, you know, he's not the means to the end. He's the end.
Right.
So he doesn't deliver me into, oh, yay, now I can accept myself. Mm-hmm. He just takes the equation out and says, you don't even fully have to love yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll love you.
Mm-hmm.
I will love you.
Yeah.
And that's actually a bigger, better love.
Yeah. This is a great list for the search me and know me.
Yeah.
Just sitting before the Lord and asking him to search you and know you. Mm-hmm. You know, we've landed on some of these, but then you just get into simple ones like ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Yeah.
You know,
sit with that. Oh,
yeah. And start.
Where am I ungrateful?
Switch that and start listing all the places you're grateful.
We already went here without self-control.
Mm. Yeah. And so I think it's, you know, again, lists are not to bring condemnation, but if there is conviction, a place of repentance and a place to say, search me and know me, these are really helpful.
Right. Well, we do this with doctors, right? We care about our bodies this way. We put the searchlight on it and go get it checked out. Where is their infection? Where is their sickness?
Because, that all is questionable.
Right. We're very quick to search ourselves physically and look for problems so that we can get healed. In some ways, what you just suggested is like doing that for your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, where might there be gangrene spreading, right? Where might there be sickness and decay? Mm-hmm. Lord, show me, not to condemn me, because he wants healing. He wants freedom, health, life, vibrancy, all the things that we want in health in our bodies. I think one of the ones that sticks out to me that I'm like, I want to sit with the Lord on that is this really interesting phrase that having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Like, where is there an appearance of something noble, but the power of God for a changed life is missing?
Mm.
And just to have a category for that. Something can appear good and noble and yet be lacking power, the power of newness of life that really is available in Christ. Again, this list seems really negative, but Paul still has a category that it can appear obviously noble and godly, which is why it's deceptive, why he has to give a list.
Yeah.
Because it probably wouldn't have been people Timothy's needing to avoid that are like out there spreading super wild heresies and, you know, murdering people. There's an appearance of godliness, but yet lacking power and going, I want to help you spot that in yourself, but in others.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm.
So we're going to avoid such people and ask God to expose
help us not
in our
hate
own
those
hearts.
People.
Oh. Right.
Now we get real interesting because now there's creeps in this chapter.
Yeah.
There's creeps who are creeping on women in this chapter. What is happening here?
I think right here we should pause as just a Bible note. Like if you're taking, you don't have. It's good. Like sometimes we're gonna ask you in your guide. You'll see it. Like where did you see people? Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes there's not names. It can be groups of people or categories.
Yeah.
And so just note for yourself in your guide that creeps is a person you met. Mm-hmm. It's just a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll catch those throughout the Bible everywhere. But in this book, he's just calling out categories of people and people by name. And so I just want to grab that just as a good Bible
note
tool.
I love it. This is a category of people.
Yeah.
Creeps.
But we have met the creeps.
Among the long list of people.
Among the list of people are these creeps. Let me show you what they're like. They get into the house of weak-willed women and they mess up everything. So it's interesting that he's giving this. It does feel like you're a little bit, Paul, are you speaking from experience? But there are people who have an appearance of godliness and deny its power. The life is characterized by the list we just heard. And this is a thing they do. They creep into households with particularly vulnerable women. We'll talk about why they're vulnerable.
Mm.
And they're wrecking those women's faith in the fruit that their life could be. So my goodness.
Yeah.
They oppose the truth. Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to sit a second and capture weak women. Since we are the doing women's ministry things,
yeah,
mm-hmm. let's figure out how to not be them.
Yeah.
We don't want to be weak women.
Who are these women? So the creeps are one, the weak-willed women are another. Who are they?
And Paul's not a fan of weak women either. So it's like, I think that is where some of our, like, we want to be strong women. That's a good thing, yeah, to want to be that. Yeah. And to go, I don't want to be a weak woman who's easily captured by creepy guys.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah, that,
which, yeah,
that's something I don't want to be. Yeah. So there we go.
I
don't
do that. Well, I remember, Jen, you and I were at a conference together.
Revive.
Years ago.
Yeah. Or no, yeah, it was Revive.
It was a True Woman, True one Woman. Of the Revive Our Hearts conferences, Revive, where we heard a woman, Mary Cassian, teach on this passage. It was great, mm-hmm, because it kind of flipped the script a little bit, what we even think weakness is. Because, mm-hmm, one of the things weak women are doing is always learning. Mm-hmm. We're just like, I don't think about that as, mm-hmm, always learning things. You're. It makes me think of being on all the blogs, right, and, mm-hmm, all of the books, and like you're always gaining information. There's an eagerness to learn, which is by itself not bad,
right?
But their learning is never leading them to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. There's a type of arrival, not an endless learning, but a type of like, oh, I see clearly, mm-hmm, truth that's not happening. And there's a being burdened with sins, mm-hmm, and led astray by passion. So it's like, that's what makes for weakness and allows you to be captured. We don't want that in ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want to be led by passions or burdened by sins, not knowing where, mm-hmm, to take them, that we're just, mm-hmm, living in them. It's like the scriptures tell us in other places, when you're burdened with sin, you bring them to the cross and you bring them to community. Mm-hmm. And so to me, weakness is not doing that.
Right.
I'm burdened with sins. I'm refusing to let the blood of Christ absolve my guilty conscience and receive it fully. Mm-hmm. I'm refusing to confess it to other people, mm-hmm, and be free from it and rid of it. I'm choosing to just say, ironically, I'm strong. Mm-hmm. I'll fight this thing on my own. It's like, no, that's actually weakness.
Right.
To let yourself remain burdened with those sins, which then will allow you to just be driven by passions. Anyway, I just think it's good to just think of through. I think we all have a proneness to that type of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go, yeah, don't be a weak woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or weak-willed, it says in some passages. Mm-hmm. Don't be a wimpy woman.
Mm-hmm.
Be strong. That ironically looks like going to the cross and to others with your sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which feels weak.
Right.
But it's actually strength.
A place of health and strength.
Right.
With the burdened with sins and led astray, mm-hmm, by various passions, it's inevitable that if we aren't bringing genuine sin, like struggles of sin, to Jesus, it will, if we're trying to handle our own shame and sin, yeah, without him, it will just squish out in all these other unhealthy things. Yep. And like that's what he's showing. He's like, they're burdened by sin. Mm-hmm. However that burden occurs, whether that's they're experiencing shame or guilt or they just can't get out from under it, mm-hmm, what then inevitably happens next is now they're just led by other various passions, right? Which is just going to keep heaping the burden, mm-hmm, of sin. Like it's a cycle that just, yeah, keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And how conviction and confession and repentance throws a wrench in that cycle.
Yeah.
When you're burdened by sin and telling yourself, I can handle it on my own. Yep. I can deal with it. I can manage it. I'm going to find some new strategies to let yourself out, like hands up and in the light, and say there is only one person who can deal with sin. It's not me. It's That's Jesus.
Right.
He's the only person who defeated death, right, and sin itself. And I've got to get in the light, which means I've got to tell other, mm-hmm, people. I've got to tell them.
Right. You know how I think one way this happens,
mm-hmm,
which is, it said they creep into households. Well, I think the primary way things get crept into our households is through what we read. Books. Mm-hmm. Like, think about it. If you pick up a book, mm-hmm, you have allowed a type of teaching into, mm-hmm, your home privately, into your mind. It could be what you watch, what you listen to, mm-hmm, what you podcast. And any of that that's trying to give you tools and strategies to manage sinful burdens, mm-hmm, that's not gospel, that's not taking you to the cross and to your community, I think is a type of expression of this. Your weakness of that sin burden you're carrying and haven't dealt with is being capitalized on by somebody creeping into your home and in your ears through a podcast, through a book, through an article, through a whatever that feels really like, mm-hmm, I like this. Mm-hmm. It allows me to stay private in my sin struggle. And we, mm-hmm, love it. It's a creepy guy. It's a creepy person. It's creepy.
Yeah.
We should have that type of disgust feeling toward that and go, no, if it's not leading me to the cross, I need to get it out of my household, out of my mind, so that I can go be actually set free, actually arrive at the truth, actually move into the power that is available to me, not the appearance of godliness,
right,
but the power of God available to me at the cross, which is like Paul's whole thing. I know nothing except the cross of Christ. It's like, if you want to know what he's going to point you to, that's it.
Yeah.
There's no advanced degree plan here in Christianity. The gospel was for beginners, but I'm beyond that. It's like, nope, that's it.
Yeah.
It's actually really simple. But yeah.
I don't know how obvious creepy people, I'm thinking of when I have, it's like half-truth teachings. So there's the idea of creepy as in creepy, like he gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Right.
And then there's creepy as in, if I take the word as like it's a verb, subtle. Like I'm creeping in, like that's it's right. low.
That's what I think is more in.
Yeah. I think it's more of the, so thinking about ways, it's probably best to not name names of teachers, but it was so close. It was talking about anxiety. And the reason people have it is because they're not connected to a source. They don't feel connected. And for me as a Bible reader, it's like, yes, they're not connected to the source, God.
Right, right.
And then that teacher quickly started to go, they're not connected to themselves. And I was like, ugh, and it was, in logic, made a lot of sense. And it was so wrong and deceitful of like, these people now are going to, and the lady even kept going to her chest, like, you're connecting to yourself.
Your power.
And there's a vein that helps you breathe. And it was like, yeah, the God gave the vein. Like he gave the thing that's going to settle the anxiety. The source is God, you know. And so we talked about counterfeit, recognizing instantly.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That right there just took a turn.
Right.
That dollar bill, that little mark on it made it now not real.
Yeah.
And so I reject the whole thing.
Yes.
Yep.
And and so it is. So tiny and just creeping in little cracks.
Yep. And it's so subtle because you're usually offering a solution.
That's right.
Particularly the felt need you have with burden by sin and the passions that lead you astray. It's like the thing that creeps in looks like a real answer.
That's right.
It's a real solution to my real problem. This is really going to help me. This is going to give me what I need and I can pursue it and I'm going to feel better and do better. Yep. It looks like a real solution. And it's a counterfeit.
I remember, and I meet a lot of young moms, like always learning. It's like they're just constantly learning these parenting techniques and reading these books on, and it's like, this is going to make you a really good mom, you know? But then it's like, well, this method, contradicts this method and then this method. And again, all of those things aren't bad, except like God has given you godly women in your church to talk to. He's given you the word of God on how to parent and how to discipline. And yes, it doesn't exactly tell you how to sleep schedule, you know?
Which obviously isn't that important to the Lord.
Yeah.
So ought it be to us.
Right.
To the degree that it is.
Yeah. And so.
If you felt like you needed it, it would have been there. So.
Yeah.
Right.
I just assume most of these even started with learning good things.
Learning good things.
Learning helpful tools, the felt needs, the things. And it's like, but is the primary all of a sudden creeps in untruth, ungospel ways to discipline and talk to our children. And, you know, and so it's just, we have to be really careful.
Yeah.
This is, I think this is a real warning of all of us can be weak.
Right.
And let's not be. Let's know our Bibles. Let's
Well, there's a
community.
A really interesting, like this passage ends with a really interesting example of kind of what we're talking about. That it says, just as Jannes and Jambres, which if you read that and you're like, who? Excuse me, what?
Yeah.
As if we all know. But it is a reference to the magicians in Pharaoh's, you know, court that were able to replicate a few of Moses's initial plagues, the river turning to blood and things like that. That if you read Exodus, you go back and read that, they were able to replicate a few of those things. So again, had the appearance of godliness. It had the appearance of the power of God. So there was a solution, the Egyptian magicians provided that looked like it worked.
Yeah.
It looked like it worked. looked like it was right, right? They had mm-hmm. the appearance of that. But in doing so, they were in opposition to God. They were in opposition to God and who he had chosen. They opposed Moses. He goes back, these men who capture women are opposing the truth, corrupted in mind mm-hmm. and disqualified regarding the faith. And so these solutions will often provide mm-hmm. a solve for a time.
Right.
But it won't actually lead to lasting change. It won't lead to godliness, to power, to loving God. It will lead to all this long list, which is a great way to go. Like maybe you're thinking about solutions that have been given to you through books, podcasts, articles, other things you've been researching, and you're wondering, do they fit the bill?
Yeah.
Well, a great way to do that is to go, well, is it producing the fruit in chapter 3 in my life? Then it's probably a good sign it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it producing what we're seeing Paul encourage Timothy in the rest of this book? Is it mm-hmm. producing the good fruit we see we're called to produce in the rest of the scriptures? But it'd be good to ask that because mm-hmm. there's likely solutions we all depend on that are just counterfeits.
Yeah.
They work for a time. Mm-hmm. They're not the real thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just as a reminder, like power comes from the Spirit.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And power is prayer. You know, yeah. power is – so even just remembering, like, if you can go read all of these things, but how long have you, like, prayed and sat That's with right. the Lord mm-hmm. asking him mm-hmm. for – I'll go ahead and just keep with the young mom thing, how to – handle this scenario or right. what to do with your body and medical decisions right. or the things I think that I just see women going to for a lot of knowledge mm-hmm. and can obsess over because they want to do it right.
Yep.
They want, you know, to feel good. They want to, you know, all the things. And it's mm-hmm. like, but when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you encountered or inquired of the Lord?
That's right.
And that's our power. Mm-hmm. He can move things. He can mm-hmm. change the hearts of the people. He mm-hmm. can change and heal your body. He can
right.
those. He can knock down the things you cannot knock down.
Yeah.
And so when are we that's just good. Being boastful in our knowledge? And it's like, you haven't prayed about this at all. There's no power mm-hmm. behind it because mm-hmm. you have not prayed about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question for any solution we're trying to find answers to through other sources to go, about how many minutes per day am I praying about this thing? That just feels, I like asking that question, not out of legalism. It just sure. is really granular for me to go, yeah, how many, mm-hmm. about how much time of my time mm-hmm. have I dedicated to mm-hmm. my kid is being really rebellious and I need the power of God to help me parent.
Yeah.
Am I praying about it?
Yeah.
Or am I just trying to go to a quick fix solution, mm-hmm. which allows me to lean on self, not God? Mm-hmm. Allows me to trust self, not God.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good question for mm-hmm. me to ask. And maybe for us to ask mm-hmm. each other, or maybe not even ask of each other as much as invite
yeah.
each other into and go, let's pray about that. You hear somebody wrestling with something, same thing, and to go, not here's my solution, go listen to this podcast I heard. Let's pray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I pray for that for you?
Yeah.
What a great offer to mm-hmm. give each other because we all need the reminder. I need that reminder every day. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can pray about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Such a temptation to just resort to self-help. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find the solution.
A lot of times in prayer, too, I think I'm praying. I'll be like, I prayed about a thing. But really, mm-hmm. what I meant by that was I was driving in the car, mm-hmm. and I threw up a, God, you got to fix this situation. What's going on here? And, like, that was the extent of yeah. the moment with
That's
God.
Right.
yeah.
Like, that was all. I was sitting in the car, and there was a worship song on, but I just sat there and worried about the issue in my
right.
car. And, like, that isn't the same as That's praying right. about it's this not. Thing. There is an actual space and time in which you did tell God all the worries and thoughts in your mm-hmm. head, and then you were quiet. You stopped talking.
Right.
And you sat with him.
That's right.
We genuinely believe that the Holy Spirit will guide That's and right. speak. So tell him for sure yes. all the things, and then give him space to answer. Mm-hmm. You know, take a breath and let him answer. Mm-hmm. He will shepherd us and guide us. Psalm 32, I will shepherd guide you. I'll give you the counsel that you need. Your job is just don't be stubborn.
Yeah.
and don't not come to me. That's the promise and the instruction right. in Psalm 32 that he will. But usually I am quick to find solutions and I'm quick to get the help and I'm slower mm. to sit with him and to listen.
Yeah.
And Kelly, for the record, both of us have been deeply offended by the times that you told us, have you prayed about that? We both yes. have stories. Yes. We're worrying yeah. about something out loud with our community
uh-huh.
and surely there's no solution from the Almighty. And you're like, but did you actually pray about yeah. that? So
Kelly is
thank
that friend.
You for that.
And I want to be that friend. But
I want to be that friend. That. Like, I know yeah. you need a solution. I'm not giving you advice. Let's go to the Lord.
That's right.
That's great.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up today. Wow. God, would you search us and know us?
Yeah.
Would you help us believe that logic doesn't change us, that mm-hmm. your good. Power changes us, that our source is Jesus? And God, so many of us ladies I know are saying, I love God. And I think mm-hmm. that last what we do. Mm-hmm. And how does it flesh out in our lives? Where do we see the things? May we be more grateful people. May we be people that work in power. May we not mm-hmm. love money. Mm-hmm. And so we just pray this week is a blessing to you as you process this, as you let the Lord search you and know you. Go to him in prayer. That is your power. We'll see you next time.